Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today, we're going to be talking about hellfire. It is amazing the number of people that will tell you that they believe in heaven. Heaven is the most pleasant topic in all languages and in all cultures. Though we quite readily believe in heaven, we are quick to doubt that there is an eternally burning place called hell. Hell is the most unpleasant place in all languages and all cultures. The fact is that most folks in the world have a perverted view of heaven that has been fed to them from the plate of false religion. They also have a perverted view of hell. The Bible doctrine of hell is so frightful for the religionists of today's apostate, effeminate Christianity that they have lessened its impact on the unbelievers of today by referring to it as Sheol, the grave, and Gehenna. These are nondescript terms that in no way convey to the unbeliever of today the harsh reality of hell. It is not Sheol. It is a literal, eternally burning hell. It is not the grave. It is a literal, eternally burning hell. It is not Gehenna. It is a literal, eternally burning hell. The term Sheol and Gehenna have absolutely no meaning to the unbelievers that walk the streets of English-speaking nations. That is the way that the devil would have it. But if you mention the word hell to English-speaking peoples, they immediately connect it with hellfire. Do the words Sheol and Gehenna bring fear to the hearts and minds of unbelievers? They definitely do not. The Bible says in Jude chapter 22 and 23, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and of others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, even hating the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, what does the Bible have to say about hell? You will have to have a King James Bible to fully receive God's desired impact of what God has to say about hell. The word hell is mentioned 54 times in the King James Bible. And that has been one of the issues with a lot of the modern Bibles, is that they like to take as much of the doctrine of hell out of them as they possibly can. There is no fear of God today in the United States of America. We are a country full of hell-bound sinners that are on the broad pathway to destruction. We mock God in our arrogance and self-esteem while murdering his innocent unborn babies. We are a nation of filthy dreamers that parade sodomy before God as if it were some kind of puppet show. We are a country that is full of the devil. We are deserving of the judgment and condemnation of God. The Bible says in Psalm 9, verse 17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Now turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, where we read the following. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Folks, there is coming a day of reckoning for all those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. This is the very judgment we just read about in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. If you are sitting somewhere lost, you have no guarantee of another breath. Job 14, verse 1 says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 state this, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Folks, you are not promised another breath. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:22 that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Folks, we deserve death, but because of the great mercy of God, we are offered eternal life. There was a secular song that was sung by a man that said he knew there was no heaven, and he prayed that there was no hell. That man could not be more wrong. Every lost person on the face of this earth is being manipulated by Satan above the fires of hell like a puppet on very thin frayed strings that are already on fire. Hell is a scriptural fact that cannot be explained away. Hell is an eternal place at the end of a Christ-rejecting life. Hell is a place of eternal fire and damnation. Hell is a place of eternal torment. And as I've said already, the Bible uses the word hell 54 different times. The Lord Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he ever did on heaven. I want you to follow me on a trip through the Bible. We're going to be reading many, many passages of Scripture. Now look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 22. It says, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Now, this is the first time we see the word hell used in our Bibles. In its first mention, it is tied to fire. It is a burning place. And that in Deuteronomy 32:22 being the first time that the word hell occurs in your Bible, it's in the Old Testament, and it's connected with fire. Also, the very first time that hell is used in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, it is connected with hell fire also. Now let's take a look the Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. Deuteronomy 4, verse 24 says this, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 3 states this, understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29 say this, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 116, verse 3. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14 state this: withhold not correction from a child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Folks, hell is a place to be delivered from. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20 says this: hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied. Now let's turn to Isaiah chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Verse 11, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the viol, and the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself. Let me repeat that again. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened up her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. From Isaiah chapter 5, we see that the fires of hell are constantly being stoked with the bodies of men and women who have died in their sin. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, it's written there in verse 21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And as I had said earlier, Matthew 5:22 is the first place where we see the word hell in the New Testament, and it is connected with fire. So it is a literally burning place. Next, we'll look at in that same chapter at verses 29 and 30. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. That's Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. And I would ask you at this point in time, why will you die in your sin and go to hell? Now let's turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10 and read verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now let's turn up to Matthew chapter 13 and read verses 40 through 42 and verses 49 and 50. Verse 40, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 7 through 9. Verse number 7, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into the life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy hand, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Matthew chapter 23, verses 15 and 33. Verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Verse 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Folks, when we talk about proselytes, if you proselyte somebody to your false religion, that's what happens, is you, religious manipulation will make an individual twofold more child of hell. And we see that happening a lot in our American churches, where men and women who are obviously not under conviction from the Holy Ghost will be manipulated into praying a sinner's prayer and then pronounced saved. And when you confront them about the fact that their lives are not showing forth any evidence of salvation, they'll tell you that they have prayed that prayer. And folks, if they have prayed that prayer, a lot of them don't really want to hear what you have to say. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 and 46. Verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse number 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now let's go and read Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48. Verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 46, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Over and over, 3 different times in that passage of scripture there, it says that the fire will never be quenched. And it is hell fire, folks. It is a literally burning place. Again, I ask you, why will you die in your sin and go to hell? It is your choice. You are the one that will condemn yourself to hell if you do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 16 and 17 there. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. That's Luke chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Luke chapter 12, verse 5. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Then we've got Luke chapter 16, probably the along with Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, the longest passages in your Bible on the doctrine of hell. Luke chapter 16, verse 22 states this, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Jude, verse number 7, states this, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Now we'll look at Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I have walked you practically all the way through the Bible, documenting one occurrence of after another that speaks to hell and the eternally burning fire that is connected to it. Death, hell, and the lake of fire are the penalties for our sins. It is the penalty for your sin if you will not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We know from Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also said in Romans 5:12, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible says this in Isaiah 64, verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, read this way. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, it says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Folks, no one has to go to hell. It is an individual choice. The question is, will you choose eternal life in heaven, or will you choose eternal death in hell? Again, I ask you, why will you die in your sin and go to hell? If you choose to make no choice at all, then you choose hell, because the Bible says this in John 3, verses 18, and also in verse 36. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The Bible says that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. In Ezekiel 33, verse 11, God said this, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? That's Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Now the phrase, turn ye, means to repent. Repentance is a turning from a life of sin and a turning to God. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is no salvation without repentance. Christ said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is not a worldly sorrow. Repentance is godly sorrow. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now, repentance is the work of the indwelling Holy Ghost, and repentance is the evidence of salvation. Through repentance, the lost sinner becomes a new creature. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The biggest problem that I see and read about in churches of today are men and women and boys and girls walking away from professions of salvation and never showing forth any evidence of salvation. There has been no change in their attitude toward God and the things of God, and therefore no repentance and no salvation. If you have not repented, you are not saved. All things remain the same, and nothing has become new if you have not repented. They are, folks that I see, they're baptized church members that are still on their way to hell because they have not put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have been led in to pray a sinner's prayer and then been told that they are on their way to heaven. Salvation is much more than a sinner's prayer. Let me say this. If the sinner's prayer is prayed from a repentant, believing heart, then God hears that prayer and salvation becomes a reality. But most people that pray the sinner's prayer have been manipulated into saying some words without having a saving understanding of what salvation means and what God's requirement for salvation are. They have been inoculated to the gospel because they have prayed the sinner's prayer. They will tell you that they have done that when you question them about their lack of evidence of salvation. They will tell you that they have said those words, that they have prayed that prayer. If there has been no change in your lifestyle after your profession of faith, then you need to do some serious soul searching into whether you are saved. I realize that some Christians are not properly discipled following salvation, but I believe that the majority of professing Christians who show no evidence of salvation have never come to a saving belief in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Church member and lost sinner, I would ask you, if you were to die today, do you know for a fact that you would not go to hell? Are you counting on your church membership, your baptismal certificate, or good works to get you into heaven? Without a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, none of these will do you any good. You will end up in hell and the lake of fire. God said this in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now, what is God's remedy for sin? Man has no remedy for or escape from the death and condemnation brought about by their sin. The good news is that God has provided a means of deliverance from the penalty of sin. That deliverance, or what we call salvation, can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says this in John 14:6 and in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. John 14:6 states this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Verse 10, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I want to reread that verse again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must save. And that name, folks, is the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot get into heaven or come to the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ. This means that the only remedy for your sin that God will accept is the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are lost and dying and on our way to hell fire. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." The Bible also says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's John 3:16. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Folks, salvation is not of men. There is nothing you can do to earn salvation. Salvation is not by works. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 state the following, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Titus chapter 3, verse 5, God says this, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Salvation is not in the church. That means that you can join every church in the world and still die in your sin and go to hell. Salvation is not in the baptismal pool. You can walk through every baptismal pool in the world and still die in your sin and go to hell. Christianity is not a religion, but is instead a living reality, the reality of Christ in you. Christianity is not hereditary. You are not a Christian because your mother and father were Christians. Salvation is not in some teacher, preacher, or evangelist. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot come to salvation anytime you want to. It is in God's time. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Romans chapter 10, verse 17 states this, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That is why we have prepared this information from the Bible on sin and salvation. We want you to hear from the Word of God what God has to say about your sin and its penalty and your need for repentance and salvation. If you will exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will grant you repentance unto salvation. God says in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8, that you cannot enter the kingdom of God except ye be born again. Let's go and read that passage of Scripture, starting in verse 3 of John chapter 3. "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." That's John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. Now, to be born again means to be spiritually reborn from above by God the Holy Ghost. It means to be regenerated by the Holy Ghost. It is literally life from death. The Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from death by the power of the Holy Ghost that you might have eternal life. That same Holy Ghost resurrects you from spiritual death through the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Ghost. We repeat Titus 3 verse 5 again. It says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I repeat, you must be born again. If salvation is a reality, it will result in a public confession of faith. You will want to tell others about it. The Bible states this in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. Starting in verse 8, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." That's Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. The Bible also has this to say in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. And this is, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, starting in verse 32. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." It is most important that you not play games with God. If you do not repent of your sin and turn to God, there will come a day when God will stop dealing with you about your sin, and you will die in your sin and suffer eternally in the fires of hell and the lake of fire. The question I have for you today is this: will you perish in your sin and spend an eternity in hell? Again, I ask you, why will you die in your sin and go to hell? It is your choice. Having said all of that, I want to warn you again not to trust in your own works for salvation. Proverbs 14, verse 12, and also Proverbs 16, verse 25 state this: "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." If you trust in your own works, you are going your own way, which is the way of death. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Lord Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. That means that he is the only way to salvation, and that salvation is a one-way street. If you're here under the sound of my voice today, you are going, and you're lost. You're going 90 miles an hour down a dead-end street, and you're going to crash and burn in the pit of hell. I repeat, you will crash and burn for an eternity in the lake of fire. Listening to this warning from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 through 31. Verse 23, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." The fruit of your own way is the torments of hell and the lake of fire. I would ask you again, in closing today, why will you die in your sin and go to hell? You do have a choice. You can trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you will just ask Him to save you, He will save you. He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. And that is the greatest event that ever happened in my life was when I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Ghost gave me the gift of repentance, and it changed me forever. And I thank God for it. And my greatest regret in my life is that I did not get saved a whole lot sooner. You will never regret being saved. Thank you for joining us today.